you, Kate, for reminding us of your theme. Among the greatest of the radio greats, Fred Allen was always a little over the heads of the masses, always serving caviar to the general.
Yeah, there always was something fishy about Allen. I should have sued him for not paying me for getting him a job with Tenderleaf Tea.
Edgar, I'm here to talk to Charlie.
Well, it's too late, fossil face. You can tell it to the judge, that is it.
Now, McCarthy, I came here to bury the hatchet, and I know approximately where I am going to bury it. You must hate me.
I'll be glad to.
Well, this thing has upset me, Edgar. Last night, as I lay upon my pillow, I brushed aside a vagrant tear which hung pendant-like from my glistening orb. I was thinking.
You were stinking.
I tell you what I'd like to do, Charlie. I'd like to have you appear in a little sketch on my program for which you will be handsomely rewarded.
Yeah, well, how much?
How much what?
Well, money, money.
Well, I had thought of 400 pounds.
Sterling?
No, pounds of Tenderleaf Tea.
There I go, holding the bag again.
Well, the play is called Weekend at Joe's Flophouse. And you play the part of a big lumber magnate, Fiorello Q. Splinterbottom III.
The third, no less.
The third. You're still in the money. You're the... If you have the parts, let's read over the play. Good, Edgar. Now, as the curtain rises, we see that outside it is a beautiful summer afternoon. I enter. I am a Chinese detective. I speak to the butler. Mr. Butler, your master, Mr. Splinterbottom, lies in great danger. I have come here secretly to warn you. I am Detective One Long Pan, famous Chinese seaman, Oriental Dick Tracy. Where is your master?
Ah, how blue the sky, how bright the sun. As I look beyond the daffodils, I see the shimmering heat over the rutabaga patch. Who got shot?
You did. Lie down. You're dead.
How do you like that? I didn't even finish my speech.
Oh, yes, you did.
Oh, no, I didn't. You shot me right in the middle of the rutabaga patch.
This isn't much of a part, Fred. Now, I thought Charlie was in all through the show and didn't leave the stage.
Well, he doesn't, Edgar. He stays there as a dead body.
Well, then, pardon me for objecting,
now,
Mr. Allen.
Now, just a minute. You stay out of this, Curly.
By that, I suppose you're referring to my hairline.
What hairline?
Well,
why, from the neck up, you are indecent.
Oh.
I have seen more fuzz on a choir boy's cheek.
Your behavior is not a credit to the acting profession, Mr. Allen.
You mean that I am a ham?
No, I insult an innocent pig. No.
I told you to keep quiet or I'll put a rubber beret on your head and use you for a plunger.
Evening, the entire nation stopped to listen to Amos and Andy, the all-time greats of radio.
And I spent 30 years working for you without a kind word or a raise in pay.
What does that have to do with Amos and Andy being among the radio greats?
You're among the radio ingrates.
Listen, Amos, you don't know politics like I do.
Tell me this, though. Why can't they have a Democrat and a Republican president at the same time?
The trouble with that is, the Republican would get everything messed up for the Democrat, and vice versa.
And what?
Vice versa.
He ain't running, is he?
Who ain't running?
Bryce Vissers.
I didn't say Bryce Vissers. I said vice versa.
Is he a Democrat or a Republican?
Oh, the thing we has got to do, Amos, is to make up our minds if we is going to be Republican or Democrat.
I believe I'll be a Democrat.
But I'm going to be a Republican. You go ahead. Be a Democrat. You was crazy.
You was all right, ain't you?
Certainly I was all right.
Then I'm glad I was crazy.
No one is remembered with more love and affection than Mrs. George Burns. Gracie Allen.
Hello, everybody. What do I do now?
Well, just make something up, you know.
Oh, all right. I'll make up a riddle. I'll give you 3 chances, and if you can guess it, you win.
If I can't guess it, I win. Well, what happens if I guess it?
Well, then it's a tie.
A tie?
Now, what's the difference?
Just a minute, Gracie. This one is on me. A fellow was in a restaurant. He ordered spinach, mashed potatoes, and cheesecake. How did I know that he was a soldier?
Is that the one where the fella had on a uniform? Yeah, that's very good, George. Tell us.
How do I allow myself to get mixed up into these things?
Oh, that's very funny. Now, I'll make one up. Not only can I make up riddles, George, I can also tell you what you're thinking about. I'm a mind reader.
Listen, Gracie, is there anything that phases you?
I don't think so.
No.
All right, now, think of something.
All right, I'm thinking.
Is it green?
Is what green?
Does it hang from the ceiling and whistle?
Does what hang from the ceiling and whistle?
Does it run along the floor and sing?
Listen.
Does it climb up buildings and swim?
Just a minute. I thought you said that you could read my mind.
Well, George, how can I read your mind if you keep on asking me all those silly questions?
I'm asking you. Listen, let's talk about something else. I'm sorry to hear about your missing brother.
Oh, that's too bad, George, because my brother's missing, too.
The only difference between you and me is that I have the power of mind over matter, and you have no mind, and it doesn't seem to matter.
Oh, I bet you tell that to all the girls.
Never mind. I still would like to know, how is your brother?
My brother? Oh, well, I think they ought to open up all the prisons. It would help prosperity.
Wait a minute. That's the wrong answer.
No, that's the right answer, but you asked the wrong question.
One of the most unforgettable addresses in the United States for many winters was 63 Wistful Vista, or was it 35?
Would you believe 79?
Well, everyone remembers Fibber McGee and Molly and their closet.
Hey, remember when we were kids in Peoria and I built that big hollow snowman with a tunnel under it and I'd crawl into it at night and talk to people when they walked past? Remember that?
Yeah. It was one of those nights that old man McNally went on the water wagon.
Yeah.
Wasn't that fun?
Yeah. Was till my school teacher went past with a new boyfriend. She says, oh, look at the cute snowman. And I tipped the snowman silk hat and says, you're cute too, kiddo, but who's your friend with the jazz bow tie and the bell-bottom face?
Oh, dear.
Well, her boyfriend started kicking the bejunior out of the snowman, and I quick ducked out of the tunnel, ran around the block, and come up behind them weeping because they ruined my snowman, and she made him give me $1 to stop bawling. I cried myself into 22 bucks that night.
Well, we went on some beautiful sleigh rides in Peoria, too.
Yeah.
In fact, I think the first time you ever kissed me was the night you rented the cutter from the livery stable.
Well, I had to kiss you, Tootsie. Had too much invested to waste the evening. Besides, holding hands is all right in the summertime, but when it comes mitten weather, a man has to establish better contact.
I bet tonight would be a beautiful night for a sleigh ride, McGee.
I know where I can get a sleigh. Farmer friend of mine out on Route 62, Mel Hess. His name is Mel of the Hess, but they call him Mel for short. He'll rent us a sleigh. Well, I'll call old Mel then, huh?
What's his number, dearie?
I don't know. I got it wrote down in a little book here somewhere. Oh, I know. It's right here in the hall closet.
I hate sleigh rides,
McGee. No,
I
won't take a minute. I
Jason Sanborn, 102nd Anniversary Radio Show, starring Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, honors the 40th anniversary of NBC. We'll continue after a 10-second pause for station identification. WRC, WRC-FM, NBC in Washington. 3 minutes past 8. Here are Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Charlie, will you ever forget the time Jack Benny lost his wallet?
Yeah, and I found it.
Hello, police department? Put the chief on the phone. Hello, chief? This is Jack Benny again. Remember the last time I spoke to you about the wallet I lost? What? Oh, you must remember. It was only 5 minutes ago. Well, look, chief, I'm willing to offer a reward. Now, take this down. If the finder of a black wallet containing $8 in cash and some important papers will return the money, he can keep the papers. Call me if you hear anything, will you, Chiefy? All right, goodbye. See, if I could only remember the last time I took my wallet out of my pocket. Now, let's see. Did I spend anything yesterday? No. Friday? No. Thursday? No. 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 No, 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 no. Well, that takes care of April. Come in.
Oh, hello, Jack.
Well, this is a surprise. Hello, Edgar. Hello, Charlie. Nice of you to drop in.
I was dragged.
Ah, what's on your mind, Edgar?
Jack, I just wanted to ask you, did you lose a wallet?
Yes.
There seems to be some doubt about it, don't you?
Did you find it?
Jack,
you're
trembling. After all, it's only $8. It isn't worth being upset about.
Let me be the judge of that. Who got it? Where? Who? Who got it?
The guy is really worried.
Come on, fellas, don't do this to me. Who found a wallet?
Well, Charlie did. And if you can identify it, we'll give it back to you.
Well, of course I can identify it. On the outside, it's stamped compliments of the Acme Sand and Gravel Company. Founded 1896.
Jack, have you any other identification?
Yes. My initials were on the flap. Yeah. And in the card case, there's a picture of Pola Negri.
Ooh.
And then there were three $2 bills in it and two singles. And the serial numbers were A1... That was on the first $2.
Yeah.
And on the second bill, there were...
No, please, no.
I think that's enough, Jack. We believe you.
Yes.
Charlie, give Mr. Benny his wallet.
Okay, here it is.
Well, this is wonderful. Charlie, I really don't know how to thank you.
You don't, huh? Would you care for a suggestion?
No.
The first NBC announcer to become a star was Graham McNamee. He did almost everything for a while. Here he is calling the Max Bear Primo Canera heavyweight championship fight.
And here it is again. Bear comes in like a shot of lightning this time. Drives his left to the side of the face. Then his right and left both through the body. Hello. While Primo seems to have come through some, he has a tremendously large swelling on the left side of his face from those terrific right-hand blows of
Bear.
And then a terrific right hand to the side of Carnera's face. And Carnera goes down again, but only for the count of one. The man won't stay down. Oh, this is a wrap. Carnera has fallen. Carnera has fallen again, but he is up instantly. The man won't stay down. Talk about nerve. He'll fight till he's dead, that man. Carnera is almost through, though. Nobody can do it. And finally, the referee motions chair to his corner, and he should have done so. He should have done so because it was so fearful. Wait, I'm going to get there.
Hello, Mom.
A lot of the comedy on radio was visual. Stuff the listener could see in his mind's eye.
But if you had a blind mind?
People did incredible things for almost nothing. But the dollar went further in those days.
Even in those days, Bergen, the dollar only went as far as you and then stopped.
Here's Ralph, This Is Your Life, Edward, at the very beginning of his 26 happy years with NBC.
You haven't told the truth, so you must pay the consequences. Mr. Marisich, can you imagine anything more impossible than standing up here in front of a radio audience of some 15 million people and making love to a seal? That's what I say, too. Well, I tell you what, and we want you to lie down on this clean sheet, and we want you to pretend you're a seal. You're Mr. Seal calling to his mate. All right. Well, I want you to call your mate. Just flap your fins and bark. Well, what do you know? Here comes a real live seal on the stage. Here is a real live seal. Mr. Marisich, you look completely aback.
Oh, no.
Well, your call was so realistic, you've actually enticed a real, live, honest-to-goodness seal onto the stage. You're going to have to serenade this seal. You called her, now you have to sing to her. Now, let's hear you bark in your best seal baritone voice the song, Let Me Call You Sweetheart. Now, Mr. Marisich, I want you to make it romantic. Look into her limpid eyes. And don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed if Sarah the Seal joins in with you on a couple of those high notes. All right, now, serenade to a seal. There the word, passionately. Stand up for this and sing to Sarah the Seal, Let Me Call You Sweetheart. Right?
Let me call you
sports in this good old USA than you, Mr. Marisich. I want to meet them. Here is your fin, $5. Mrs. Robert Beardsley of Redwood, New York, gets $10 for the consequence.
How much did the seal get?
Al Jolson brought his monumental talent to radio at the head of his own show called Shell Chateau.
He even tried to get me to join him.
Charlie, why don't you and I merge our show? Be partners. You and I will go together like ham and eggs.
Yeah, see, now there you go, putting yourself first again.
Well, we won't worry about that. We'll split the billing 50-50.
50-50.
Yes, sir. And you know what? We'll split the joke 50-50, too.
50-50.
Yeah.
And what about the money?
The money? We'll work out some arrangement about that later on.
That don't smell so good.
You know.
I want 50%. Now, you're trying to push me around.
No, I'm not.
You're
I'm
shoving
not.
Me
no,
around,
no, 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 Charlie, I'm not.
Yeah?
You know your little old Uncle Joe, he loves you.
He does.
Yes, he do. But he don't want to give you too much money.
No.
Or he might not love you anymore, you see. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I forgot something else.
Yeah?
And then we got to deduct $100 a week, you know, for bad debt.
Bad debt?
Uh-huh.
Who ain't paying off?
Well, three fellas. Win, place, and show. Oh, I forgot the main thing. I gotta have a new home at Palm Springs.
Tell me, why can't you live in Los Angeles?
Because I do mind the gray skies, sonny boy.
Oh. I'm sorry, Alice. No go, no.
Now, wait a minute. Now, Charlie.
No, I don't...
Charlie, please, don't say that. You're tearing the heart.
Is that
the
true?
Very heart out of your poor old Uncle Jolie.
Yeah? Hey, you gotta cry louder than that, though.
Well, I'll do it again. I love you, Charlie. I love you. My head is bending low, I tell you. I'm down on my knees, boy. I'm down on my knees pleading with you.
As long as you're down there, why don't you sing us off?
climb up on my knee, sonny boy. Boy, you're only three, sonny boy. You've no way of knowing, there's no way of showing what you mean to me, sonny boy. When we're a gray sky, I don't mind the gray sky. You make them blue, sonny boy. Friends may forsake me, let them all forsake me. I still have you, sonny boy.
Hello, Edgar. It's good to be working again with you and Charlie.
And Jason Sanborn. Charlie, you remember Ben Grauer?
Oh, see him every New Year's Eve in Times Square.
It's wonderful, Ben. You were a big-name reporter when Charlie and I started in radio, and you're still heard every week on NBC.
Thank you, Ed.
You work every week for NBC?
That's right, Charlie.
Well, Berg and I only work once a year. tell me, Ben?
Yeah?
Could you use a partner?
Well, we are partners, Charlie. Partners in telling people that heftier Chase and Sanborn coffee has a flavor that really grabs you. Heftier Chase and Sanborn.
That's right, Ben. Heftier Chase and Sanborn has been blended hefty to cheer you up, warm you up, and perk you up.
He's always interrupting me, too, Ben. I just wish he'd keep his mouth shut.
Yeah, but Edgar enjoys talking about Chase and Sanborn coffee.
Well, that's all right when he's talking.
But you said...
I want him to keep his mouth shut when I'm talking.
Goodman Ace, today one of TV's top writers, and his wife, Jane, were famous as...
Ladies and gentlemen, Easy Aces.
Dear, I ran into Mrs. Norris today.
Hard, I trust.
Now, dear, is that a way to talk about your boss's wife?
Yes. What did Mrs. Norris have to say?
Well, mostly she said, where have you been? Long face, no see. Why haven't you been at our Thursday afternoon club meetings? We missed you last Friday and the Friday before, she said.
Just a minute. Hold the phone there. The Thursday afternoon club meets on Friday.
Yes. They changed it from Mondays, you know.
Oh, they did. The Thursday afternoon club used to meet on Mondays, and now it's Friday.
Yes.
This is that awful.
And she said they've been doing such exciting things at the meetings.
For instance?
Yes.
Is that so?
And not only that, next winter we're going to do social work, Mrs. Norris told me.
Social work?
Uh-huh. She said it's very interesting to see why the other half lives.
Why they live.
But what do you think they're taking up this week?
What?
Numerology.
No.
Yes, they got a man coming to lecture about it, and I'm going to be there tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Saturday.
This week, the meeting's on Saturday.
Yes,
you know what numerology is, don't you, dear?
Yes, I happen to know.
It's lucky numbers, you know.
Yes.
Everybody should have a lucky number. You know, like I always say, two is my unlucky number.
Two, yes.
Well, I should have a lucky number, you see. And sometimes they change the spelling of your name, and that's lucky, too. That's numerology. Sounds exciting, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, that's quite nauseating.
I should say.
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Norris said she once knew a girl who went to a numerologist, some man named Mr. Williamson, and this girl was having the most awful luck. She couldn't find a job. Nobody ever made any dates with her. She couldn't even find anybody to marry her. And 1 month after she saw Mr. Williamson, she got married, just by changing her name.
Well, what does she change it to?
Mrs. Williamson.
Of course.
The gold
suave and sophisticated Bing Crosby in the old Kraft Music Hall brought a new kind of relaxation to the airwaves.
I remember how we'd meet in the hall at NBC, and I'd say,
"Well, if it isn't your bingo."
"Well, if it isn't your shingles."
"Yeah."
For years, Bob Burns was Bing Crosby's partner.
"Oh, I remember him."
"Bing Crosby?"
"Oh, no, that other fella, Burns."
"You are impossible."
"No, I'm Mortimer."
"All right. Never mind. I'm talking about Bob Burns."
"Being on my vacation, I spent every bit of my time up in the state of Washington. For the past 2 years, you've been standing around here laughing at my kinfolk."
"Yeah."
"And I just went up there to..."
"I think I'll go out and get a drink of water."
"No, I went up there to see some of your kinfolks, and I saw them, and boy, I want to tell you, you've got some dilly."
"You'll pardon me, Bob, if I..."
No, you stay here, Bing. Don't you run away now, because..."
"Stay here and take it, huh?"
"Yes, stay here and take it. Now, you always laugh when I mention my Aunt Boo. How about your own Aunt Boo 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 Boo?" That's the one, you know her."
"Yeah."
"I want to tell you, that's the one that you told me was an artist. You said that every time she saw a beautiful piece of landscape or beautiful work of nature, her face would light up. But Bing Crosby, you did tell me that the reason her face lit up so easy is because she's lantern-jawed." I want to tell you, in all fairness to your family, they do all wear shoes. That's a fact. Nice, high, yellow button ones. But I asked him where he got the idea for his button shoes, and he says, "Well, says Cousin Bing never would write us and tell us whether he wore lace shoes or button ones. But one night we heard him saying, 1, 2, button my shoe,' and we caught on." "But tonight I am going to dedicate my number to that beautiful Puget Sound country. It's the prettiest country I ever saw in my life. I'm going to play the Land of the Sky Blue Water."
That was beautiful. That was really fine. I think I know what inspired it. I believe after spending your life around those muddy rivulets that aggravate the Arkansas hills, you came suddenly upon beautiful, crystalline, azure-like Puget Sound. And the urge welled up within you to play something fine. Is that right?"
"That's right, Bing.
Thanks. I couldn't say it that way." "You know, that takes me back to the days when I was just a nipper, way back in 1930. Doesn't sound like so long ago, but that was the year a few daring women were just beginning to paint their fingernails. Commander Richard Evelyn Byrd spent New Year's Day at the South Pole in 1930. The University of Southern California put in a profitable afternoon that same day, defeating Pittsburgh in the Rose Bowl. Philadelphia won the World Series from St. Louis, and every singer who had access to a microphone was broadcasting something like this. Do you remember? Time on my hands, you in my arms.
What are we doing in this alley?
Visiting another one of radio's great announcers, Kenny Claghorn, Delmar. I'll knock.
Somebody, I say, somebody's pounding on my portal. Claghorn's your name, Senator Claghorn. I'm from the South.
Who'd have thunk it?
Where I come from, we consider New Orleans Yankee country.
Why?
New Orleans, initials are N-O. That's the abbreviation for North. Hey, be alert now, boy. Come on in. I was just sitting here sipping my second cup of the heftier Chasin' Sanborn. It's got a flavor that really grabs you, son. When it comes to heftier Chasin' Sanborn, there ain't nobody Mississippin' like I Mississippin'. Yeah. That's a joke, son. Mississippin'. Laugh. You just sit there like a bump on a log.
How dare you call Bergen a log?
This here heftier Chasin' Sanborn is blended hefty to cheer you up, warm you up, and perk you up. The only two people I admire more than Chasin' Sanborn are Mason and Dixon. And I sure wish they'd made their line heftier. Go on, that is.
Well, Charlie, I guess we're about finished.
Yes, Bergen, people have been saying that about you for years.
I mean, it's time to wish the heftier Chasin' Sanborn and the huskier NBC Radio Network many more happy anniversaries.
With us, of course.
Let us hope.
There's just one thing more I wish.
What's that, Charlie?
I wish you'd improve every year the way they do.
Now,
Bergen, it's against the law to hit me. I'm a minor.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
You have just heard the Chasin' Sanborn 102nd Anniversary Radio Show, starring Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, honors the 40th anniversary of NBC. Written, edited, and produced by Carol Carroll and Daniel Sutter. This is the NBC Radio Network.